God of Israel. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in our worship. We will not bow down to the gods of men. We will only worship the God of Israel.
Holy, holy, there is no one else like you. You are holy, holy, there is no one else like you. You are holy.
And today we bow ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge your lordship over our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the transformative work of grace, that which you are doing, that which you have done already, that which will now be made manifest in us and through us, as you infuse us with your life and empowering us by grace to live fulfilled lives, knowing that we belong to you and that you are our God, the only true God. Thank you, Father, for your presence. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege to celebrate this feast of tabernacles in your presence, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you all here this evening. And I'm especially glad to see Simi here. Welcome. Glad that you came. Well, we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And this time we are starting from the center before we start talking about the tabernacles around. But not just talking about the center, we're going into the vessels that were in the tabernacle proper. We started out talking about the entire tabernacle, and we talked about the different families that were situated in the east side of this tabernacle. We talked about Zebulun. Zebulun means exalted. It also means to abide. We talked about Issachar. Issachar means there will be a recompense, there will be a reward. And incidentally, this tribe of Issachar, the Bible tells us that they were very prophetic. They were the ones who knew what Israel ought to do. They were in tune with the heart of God. They didn't start out that way, but as they drew closer to God, something began to happen to them. God has a special gift for every one of us. You may look at yourself and say, there's nothing about me. I don't have anything to offer. And God says, yes, you don't have anything to offer, but I'm going to give you what you can offer. And not only do we have Issachar, then we had Judah. Judah means praise. Now, all of those three, and then the individuals, Moses, Aaron, and his sons, were all sons of Leah. Leah was the woman that was rejected. Leah was the one that Laban tricked Jacob with. He thought he was going to get married to Rachel. And when he woke up in the morning, he was with Leah. Leah was the ugly one. Leah was the one that whose eyes were lazy. There was nothing attractive about her. But God picked the one that was rejected. He said, you know what? I'm going to do something extraordinary with your life. I'm going to do something mighty with your life. You are going to have more children than the one that was supposedly loved. When we feel rejected, we must celebrate, because the word of God says, even if your father and your mother forsake you, I will pick you up. God is interested in you as an individual, and his intent is to do something extraordinary with your life. You must not count yourself out and say, I don't mean anything. No, you mean something to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us that they were on the east side, the place of the rising of the sun. And as you went through the gate, you came to the first set of equipment or tools or whatever you may call it. It's called the brazen altar. At the brazen altar, that's where the sacrifices were made. Sacrifices were made for our sins, for the sins of the people. Thousands and thousands of animals were sacrificed there. It was all pointing to the one sacrifice that was going to come. That sacrifice being Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He represented and took over whatever it is that happened at that brazen altar. As he hung on the cross, he was paying the price for every sin that you and I had committed. No matter how good we are, we're never good enough. The word of God says our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. But Jesus Christ came and took upon himself all of our sins, all of our shame, all of our transgressions, all of our iniquities, everything that was wrong about us, he took it on himself. And he says, now you can go forward. Now at this place here, the priests sacrificed the animals and their hands were bloody. Where they're going to wash their hands if they're going to go into the holy place of God. They had to come to that place of the laver. The laver was made out of brass, and it had mirrors inside of it. The Bible says the looking glass of the women. Now, when you first came to that place with the mirrors and water on it, all you could see was yourself. But nobody can approach God in their own strength and their own ability. And as they wash their hands, because the word of God says, who is going to approach unto God? It says it's going to be people with clean hands. They washed their hands, and as they washed their bloody hands, the mirror was no longer there. While it was there, it was hidden under that precious blood, the blood that was sacrificed for their sins. Because what God wants you to see is not your good looks. It is for you to see that he paid the price for your sin. The first thing that happened when they dipped their hands inside that clear water with a mirror was their image was distorted. It just, everything was shaken all over the place. And the first thing that happens to us when we come to God is that we have a distorted image of ourselves. But God wants to remove that distorted image and give to us the precious blood, so that we see, of Because the word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Jesus had to remit, as far as the east is from the west, our sins from us. Well, we talked about this whole discourse of east and west in contrast to north and south. You see, if you keep on going east, you will never go west. It's always going to be east. And God says, as long as you follow me, you will walk away from your sinful life. But one thing causes east to become west when you turn around. And it's not a distance. It is just a matter of a shovel. You make a twist and you're from east to west while at the same spot. When does that happen? When we choose not to forgive other people. When you choose not to forgive yourself. When you hold something against God and say, God, if you were God, how come this? And what did Jesus do? Jesus, our Lord, said, you know what? I'm going to take the blame. I'm going to take the blame. The Father says, I'm going to take the blame. You want to blame me for all your problems? I'm going to take it on myself. I take it. Just don't be in a place of unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness will bring you to the place of bitterness. And when you come into that place of bitterness, it will become rottenness to your bones. That means it will become rottenness to your structure. Your structure begins to collapse. So many people that are dying in their hospitals today can trace their problem to an act of unforgiveness. Are you forgiving yourself for your past mistakes? Are you holding them to yourself and saying, I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good? No, God says, every good and perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, that we might become like one of the first fruits of his creatures. God wants you to know that you are forgiven. Live your life past that. No amount of sacrifice is going to change it. It is Jesus Christ and his shed blood that makes it possible for us to know that we are forgiven. Can you say with me today, I am forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did? Yeah, because of what he did. Not because of what you did. Because of what you did. He did. And then we move past that place and we come into the holy place, and we talked about the candlestick. The candlestick represents the light of God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But now that you've washed yourself and you've forgiven and you cleansed, now he also says to you and I, you are the light of the world. Not only am I the light of the world, you also are the light of the world. And if darkness cannot comprehend the light, cannot overcome it, you are not going to be overcome by anything that stands in the way of your life. You have been made more than a conqueror. You can defeat everything that stands in your way. The accusations of the enemy, all of that. The word of God says God commanded the light to come out of darkness. And God is speaking to you today. And he's saying, I'm commanding you, come out of that darkness. Come out of that place of defeat. Come out of that place of shame. Come out of that place of destruction. I have a new life for you. It is a bright life, and this life will shine brightly, and it shall overcome all darkness. Somebody shout hallelujah. You are the light of the world. And then he says, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, through 16. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Then verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle. Remember your light. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. When God says that you and I are light, he's saying to us, don't hide your life. Because your life is based on the light. For he is the one who lit everyone that came into the world. Every life has been lit by God. Once upon a time, I was talking to somebody about this light of God. I said, the light of God is in you. You're wired to shine. He said, no. I said, you know what the problem is? We need to turn your switch on. And tonight, what I want to do is to turn your switch on so that you come to recognize the greatness of God in you, because God created you in his image and in his likeness. You are like your father, not the devil, but the living God. Hallelujah. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we shine correctly, it is not that people focus their attention on us. They reflect and begin to give glory to God. If you are a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, and all the accolades are coming to you, and nobody's saying, thank God for the life that you live in, you're in trouble. You have to recognize that whatever it is you and I are, we are because of him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The candle is not the light. The light became because of the candle. Something has to burn for the light to shine. And today God is speaking to you and I and saying, are you going to let me be the fire inside of you that ignites you? But we move past that lamp, and on the right side is a table called the table of showbread. For the first time in the Bible, the word table is used. And it's used here when it talks about the table of showbread. Now, this certainly is all in the Old Testament. This is all about the tabernacle in the wilderness. But this tabernacle was a type of what was in heaven. Praise the Lord. And that which was in heaven is manifested here. But what was it that was in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is a sacrifice. He is the water in that lava. He is indeed also the mirror. Because the Word of God tells us that we look at the mirror and we behold the glory. Jesus is all of that. And now when we come here to this table is 3 feet wide, or 3 feet long rather, 1.5 feet wide, and 2.25 feet high. It is set there, and on it are 12 loaves. The 12 representing, first and foremost, the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 also represents government and leadership. Praise the Lord. But it is the bread. And Jesus says that he is the bread of life. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Praise God. There are, for us, 12 months. And God is saying to us, hey, for every month, I got you covered with the word. Praise the Lord. Now, these 12, I'm going to go a little bit deeper in a moment. These 12 loaves were unleavened, meaning they had no yeast in it. For yeast represents that which is sin. Yeast causes that which is supposed to be a particular size to rise. And therefore, it represents pride and arrogance, self-centeredness. God says, no yeast. I want the flour to be exactly the way it should be, real. Hallelujah. But the amazing thing about these loaves of bread that had no yeast in it was that it was to stay there for a week long. And at the end of the week, the priests that were serving and those that were going to take up their shift will eat this bread. And the bread was still as fresh as it was the first day it was baked. So there was an aroma in that holy place of something that was cooking fresh. And what's the temptation? Eat it right now. And God says, no, no. At the fullness of time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus, our Lord, said, I am the bread. Praise God. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, John 6 and 35, it says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's incredible. What is the connection? If you eat bread, you're going to get thirsty. Especially if you're eating unleavened bread. And Jesus, our Lord, says, when you eat the real bread, you don't get thirsty. You'll be satisfied, but not thirsty. Don't I need the water of the word? Oh, my bread is the word. And embedded inside that bread is the water, because my water is the word. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Everything you need is in the word. When you get the real word of God in you, there's no hunger and there's no thirst. There's just a desire to have more. Just a desire to have more. It is not because of hunger. It's just, I'd love to have more of that. And it satisfies and satisfies and satisfies. But while you're satisfied, you're desiring more. Not because you're hungry, but because you are addicted. You got an addiction to the word that you just want it. You desire it. You want to be one with it. Now, that's important because that showbread is called Lehem Panim. You say, what does that mean? Well, it simply means, the hempanim means the bread of faces. The bread of faces. What faces? The face of the Lord. Basically, when you come to this table and you're eating of that bread, what God wants you to see is for you to see Him in you and you being changed to the same image. You get it? That's why He calls it that. And the Word of God tells us that we need to look at Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. In John, well, let me look at it this way. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 30 for a moment. Jesus is risen from the dead, and He's walking with these two disciples and through the road of Emmaus. And He's talking with them because they are disturbed about what had just happened in Jerusalem. And He comes alongside of them and He's walking with them. And they engaged Him. And they're nice enough to invite Him to their house. And the Bible says they sat down. Watch this. All this time they did not recognize Jesus. But it says, and it came to pass as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And what happened? And their eyes were opened. This table of showbread is a place where God is going to begin to open your eyes. My prayer tonight is this, that God will open your eyes and my eyes, and that we will see Jesus as He really is. Their eyes were opened, and they what? Knew Him. God wants you and I to know Him. How are we going to know Him? By His word. By His word. The way you're going to know God is through His word, not through the writings of some guy somewhere, but what God has breathed and revealed to people will begin to open you up to recognize who God is. The Word of God says, at the entrance of the Word of God brings forth enlightenment. You get enlightened. God is not calling us to some religious faith or to some spiritual thing. He's calling you and I to a relationship. And you and I becoming one with Him. When their eyes were opened and they recognized who Jesus was, and Jesus just vanished from their sight, the Bible says, they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures?" Something happened. When you're hearing the word of God, something happens inside of you. The word of God is fire inside of you. Jeremiah says, "It is like fire in my bones." You cannot be a believer and be cold or lukewarm. You've got to be on fire. When the Holy Spirit came, it came like flames of fire and rested upon them. We didn't come to a show. We didn't even come to hear a speaker. We came to hear God and His Word. And that Word is transforming you and I. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, He says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts." Why? "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." Where? In the face of Jesus Christ, who is the bread. So when you came to the showbread, this was God's way of opening Himself to the priest right there. Opening them. And God wants us to see Jesus. Why? So that we are changed into the same image. Lehem Panim. The meaning of Lehem Panim or Lehem Hapanim is display. Display. So when you have that bread, the bread, the show bread, or show bread, is a display bread. When God's word takes a hold of us, there is a display. There is a display. You cannot have God in your life and not have a display. Now, bread is the word of God. But you know that there is an enemy that mimics the things of God. So the devil has his own bread, but it is filled with yeast. Hello? It is corrupted. And if that's what you eat, then you are going to display the spirit of the world. Unfortunately, there are so many believers who are trying to dive into the Word of God, the real Word of God, and then take some of the bread of the enemy, and what they have is mixture. You're not sure what mood they are going to be, whether they're going to have a God mood or a devil mood. But some mood they're going to be in at some point, because they have embraced and swallowed the things of God and the things of the world. And the Bible says, hey, talking to us about in the book of James about the tongue, it says you cannot have sweet water and bitter water from the same well. That is not right. That's not how it's supposed to be. You have to allow God to take control of your life so that the life that you display is the life and the display of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now that word, panim, remember we talked, is the bread of faces, can also be translated as that of his presence. So the showbread was the showbread of his presence, the bread of his presence, the word of his presence. Why are we talking about all of this? Because God is saying to us, are you ready for this? Not only that he is the bread, but that you and I become a manifestation of that bread, a manifestation of Jesus, a manifestation of the Word of God. God is calling us to a higher place so that whatever it is that we have, when we speak it, people will not be hungering for something else. Say, I got what I needed. I came to that church and I heard what I needed to hear. Something happened to me. I heard it. I have it. Hallelujah. And as you look at the Word of God, we said yesterday, or no, 2 days ago, we begin to find out that it is not us anymore, but that as we are reading the Word, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Everything that he says about me, I see through the eyes of Jesus. And I break forth through all of that. Now, bread has to go through some heat. You don't roll the dough and set it aside and say, that's bread. It's not bread yet. It has all the ingredients of bread, but it becomes bread when it goes through the heat. Hello? Are we together? You want to be bread, but you don't want to go through any heat. Some people just think, oh, now that I'm a Christian, all my problems are solved, and I will never have any problems ever, ever, ever again. Give yourself a quick boot in the behind and wake up. No. As long as you're in this world, there will be issues. But the fact is that you have made more than a conqueror. You are not going to stop in that place of challenges. You are going to ride over it. Or may I put it this way? You see, that tabernacle, the glory of God, when it was fully set up, the glory of God came down as a pillar of cloud during the day and as a pillar of fire at night. During the day, it became like a covering to shade them from the heat of the wilderness and the desert. And at night, it was there, and it was like a fireplace that heated them, and they were warm. But one day, at the blast of a silver trumpet, based on those watching what was happening with that cloud lifts up, or that pillar of fire lifted up, and they started to tear down the tabernacle. They break it all down. All of every single detail, put wherever it is supposed to go, put into the cart, and the Ark of the Covenant was carried on the shoulders. And they will move until that pillar stops. And when they saw the pillar stop, they put the structure back down. It might have stopped for one day. It might have stopped for 7 days. It might have stopped for a whole year. They were in one spot. But what was real was this. Every time they put it together, God begins to move, and they have to tear everything down and follow. And then when they put it back up, there the glory comes again. What is the lesson? In this life, you're going to have build-up times and tear-down times. When you're going through the tear-down time and everything seems to be out of place and moved this way and that way and every which way, don't panic and think God is no longer here. No, he's still there. Just follow him. Just follow his direction. Because the God who moved will one day stop. And then you stop. Praise the Lord. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the representation of that tabernacle, went through the tear down time. And then he rose again. And he seated at the right hand of the Father. And Father says, sit down here until I make all of your enemies your footstool. Praise the Lord. And then he returns. And he sets up a kingdom. And guess what? It's going to happen again. There will be another tear down time. And then he reveals a new world. For this old world shall melt away. Praise the Lord. God is progressively doing something in your life. And with every tear down, there's a march forward. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me begin to wrap. The lesson I want us to embrace tonight is simple. Jesus is that bread of life, and he calls us to eat and become one with him. I'd like to wrap up by going back to John 6 and verse 35 to 41. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. 36. Verse 36 says, somebody back there? Okay, I'll help myself. He said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is all that the Father, the God, the Creator, gives to me, says, this belongs to you. They will come to me. And says, and when they come to me, it doesn't matter whether they're good, bad, or ugly. I'm not going to cast them out. I'm saying, you? Father believes that something good can come out of you. Come. Came with a broken leg, I'm your healer. Came with a broken heart, I am your healer. Came blind, I'm your healer. Came abused, I am your healer. I will in no wise cast you out. Verse 38. He says, for I came down from heaven. That's the bread of life now. He says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which had sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should not lose anyone, but should raise it up again at the last day. So this is the Father's will, that everyone that is given to me, I shouldn't lose them, but raise them up. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Because the reality is, most people in the world will die at some point. Which says, if you believe in me, I will raise you up. You see, the world teaches that you're going to save yourself by your good works. Nobody can save themselves by their good works. You don't come to this life and say, I'm going to try to be good, I'm going to try to be good, so that in the next world, I don't become an ant. No. God created you as a man in his image and likeness, and you're never going to become a cow or a goat or whatever else. You're just going to be who you are, saved because you believe Jesus Christ, or lost because you believed in your own ideas. It amazes me how people in our day and our time, they're not even that old, think they are smarter than God and smarter than everybody else. You were not there, but you it's not like you read it from somewhere. You come up with your own ideas of what happened 4,000 years ago. I don't think it happened like that. I think this and I think that and blah, blah, blah. No, the people who were there gave record to what happened. He said, I'm going to raise you up in the last day. That is the commitment of God to every one of us. And be rest assured, he said, if you came to him, he's not going to cast you away. If you came to him and God the Father gave you to him, the promise of the Father and the promise of the Son. Jesus says, I'm not going to lose anyone the Father gave to me. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I will never be lost. The Father, God, gave me to the care of Jesus Christ. I will never be lost. My Jesus is not a loser and doesn't lose anything. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That is true for you. That's true for your children. Stop worrying about things and just recognize that God loves you. Somebody say, God loves me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your everlasting love. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the bread of life. We thank you, Lord, that we are being changed into that same glory. Daily we are becoming more and more like you. Yes, we may not be where we should be, but we are thankful, Father, that we are no longer where we used to be. In tearing us down, you are rebuilding us. And with every rebuild, the presence of your glory. Father, we thank you for your glory. It is igniting the fire of your love inside of us. And Lord, help us to share your love with others. For light bearers do not hide their light. They lift it up so others can see. Help us to bring sight, hope, peace, your loving kindness to the masses wherever we see them. And may everyone who hears the testimony of our word come to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. While all heads are bowed tonight, I want to give every one of us an opportunity to be rebuilt again. You may say, Pastor, there was a time when I felt like I was in the right place. And it seems right now that things are all over the place. I want God to rebuild me and let his glory rest upon me. Or you may be here today and you may say, you know, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've heard today that Jesus loves me and that my sins can be forgiven and I can get a new start. I want to surrender my life to the living God, so that I thirst no more and I hunger no more, because I eat of this bread of life that came from heaven. If you are that one here tonight and you want to restore your relationship with God or begin a relationship with God in earnest, in committing your life to the living God and saying, I want to give my life to God. I don't know how this is all going to go, but I want to start. And I want to let God be God in my life. Just raise your right hand for a moment, and I'm going to pray with you and for you. I'm backsliding. My walk with God is not where it should be, and I want a relationship with God restored. or I want to start a fresh relationship with God. Just raise that right hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone like that? Okay. Then I'll believe that everyone here tonight has surrendered their lives to God and that you're walking fervently with God's love. Father, I thank you for everyone here present. And I thank you, Lord, that each one has made a commitment to you. Receive their commitment. Renew their commitment. Restore them in their walk of faith. And may they be empowered to live life to the full. We turn away from every other and we cleave to you, author and finisher of our faith. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad that you came tonight. But before we leave, I want to remind you that tomorrow is Sunday. We're going to have the morning service at 10 a.m. And the evening service will be a continuation of this Feast of Tabernacle. That will start at 6:30. We'll be having a very special guest with us tomorrow evening. Invite your friends, your neighbors to come and participate to hear what the Word of God for us is going to be for tomorrow. And of course, Monday evening, Tuesday evening, and finally, Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening, we're going to share in communion together, and we're going to lay hands on everyone, hands of impartation, because Wednesday evening represents the eighth day of the seven-day feast. That's going to be powerful. Let us come and experience God together. Yesterday I shared with you about the year that we are in right now. It's the year 5785. 5785. And it was not my thinking, but the Lord first said to me, said, do you see that this year starts with five and ends with five? I said, I see that. Do you see that there is a seven in this year? I said, yeah. Do you see that there's an eight in this year? I said, yeah. What does all of that mean to you? I said, five is the number of grace. He says, do you see that grace surrounds you, five on five? I said, that's good. Do you see seven, the number of completion? Yeah, things are getting completed for you this year. Do you see the next one is eight? I said, yeah, new things are going to begin for you this year. I said, praise the Lord. And I thought that was all of it. And yesterday, he said to me, do you see it's all fives? I said, what are you talking about, all fives? He said, add the numbers. 5, 7, 8, 5. What does that number become? I said, 25. 25. What year are you going into? I said, yeah, 2025. He said, 25. How many fives in 25? I said, five. He said, it's all grace. It's all grace. So rise with me. And say these words with me. Father, I thank you that it is all grace. for me henceforth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's honor God with our giving. And as we release our seeds of faith, let's release it, believing that God has blessed us in magnificent ways, and His goodness shall always abound towards us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And once again, I want to thank God for Simran, Simi. Yeah. I met Simi at the mall yesterday, trying to get some munchies. And I met her some time back, and the Lord had given me a word for her. And I went there yesterday, and I said, I'm hearing this. Did I tell you this before? And I repeated every, and to tell you, when I give a word, I give the word, and it's gone. You come ask me 10 minutes later, what was that word you gave to me? I don't know, I just spoke in the Spirit, and if you didn't remember it, that's your problem. But I talked to her again and said, did I tell you this? She said, yes. He said, and you know what? That word was right on for me. Because when you gave me that word, I was at the end of my rope, so to speak. And I told her about church, and she said, I'm going to come. I'm going to come. It's my day of tomorrow. And she's a woman of her word. And God's word is going to be good for you. Yeah. God bless you. Let's welcome Simi together. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Is there anyone else here that's somebody here for the first time? Anyone else? Okay, everyone else has been here. Yeah, you've been here. Just that I don't see you as often as I see her. But I'm glad that you came today. Well, did we give our offerings already? And all right, then bless you. Enjoy the goodness of God. And I'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for a powerful time in the presence of God. And then we'll be back tomorrow at 6:30. Anyone on Zoom? Want me to say hello to?